परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमान हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सकहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
किन्हीं रत्नमाला So we'll try to memorize one verse. That's how we'll begin this month's session. One of the important verses in the section that we are going to cover this time.
Na uttama shloka vartanam.
जुषतां तत्कथामृतम् स्यात् संभ्रमोऽन्तकालेऽपि स्मरतां तत्पदाम्बुजम्. फर्स्ट कैंटो 18 चैप्टर 4th वर्स. न उत्तम श्लोक वार्तानां जुषतां तत्कथामृतम् स्यात् संभ्रमोऽन्तकालेऽपि स्मरतां तत्पदाम्बुजम्. न उत्तम श्लोक वार्तानां जुषतां तत्कथामृतम् स्यात् संभ्रमोऽन्तकालेऽपि स्मरतां तत्पदाम्बुजम्. दिस् वर्स् इस् दट् न उत्तम श्लोक वार्तानां जुषतां तत्कथामृतम् मीन्स् वन् हू हेज़् डेडिकेटेड् हिस् लैफ् to hear the topics of Krishna, to render service to Krishna, and to spread the message of Krishna, such a person will not run into any misconceptions or bewilderment even at the time of death. At the time of death, once bodily membranes are totally deranged, he cannot think of anything else, he cannot speak anything substantial or something which is intelligible, and at the time of death all the desires which he has not yet fulfilled will just bother him, and the desire to continue life will torment him. He is begging and pleading the doctors, please increase my lifetime for some more time, a few more days, at least one more hour you increase at least. So they plead the doctor, and he is surrounded by so many loving relatives and inimical relatives. Some people are waiting, when will this fellow die? And some people are saying, oh, he should not die, he should stay here with us. Some people are thinking, after he leaves, maybe this property I can take. And some people are thinking, after he leaves, who will support me? Right? He is surrounded by all those people, and he himself has certain desires that he cannot fulfill. At that time, when the material desires are tormenting him, and the body is not supporting, the mind is not cooperating, at that time, to be in a sane state of mind is extremely difficult. And for a devotee who has dedicated his life to serve Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to chant Krishna's names, for such a person, there are no confusions. There is no bewilderment. Smaratam tatpadam bhujam. He can very wonderfully remember the lotus feet of Krishna, and very royally, regally, he can go back to Godhead. So the material energy will not pull him down to this material world again. He will just royally walk on the path back to Godhead. For that, we need to just traverse on the path shown by our acharyas. And this beautiful verse is speaking like that. No bewilderment at the time of death also. Simple thing. For someone who has a student, who has studied very well throughout the academic year, when there is final exam, certainly he will not run into any misconceptions, or he will not be bewildered seeing the question paper. He is happy. He is ready to answer any question. Similarly, for a devotee, death is not a problem. Okay, if I leave this body, I will get another body in which I will serve Krishna. If I have to take birth in this world again, let me take birth again and worship Krishna from that setup. And if I don't have to take birth again, I can go back to spiritual world. Okay, I'll go and serve Krishna there. So wherever I am there, my job profile, job description is just to render service to Krishna. I will not be deprived of that opportunity. Devotee has full confidence on Krishna's mercy because he himself has performed devotional service like that throughout the life. So it's a big responsibility on our part to value the process that is given to us by the acharyas, and especially chanting of the holy names and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the deities and serving the devotees and serving the dham if possible. There are 5 potent forms of devotional service, and there are 9 processes of devotional service. You know the 5 potent forms just now I mentioned. 9 processes: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. There are 64 limbs of devotional service. Guru Padashraya, I will not enumerate the 64 now. So 5, 9, 64. This is our shelter. If there is any bewilderment, are kya karne abhi, what should I do? If there is some bewilderment or some confusion, just remember this. 5, 9, 64. Just get absorbed in one of them. That's the only rescue for all of us. Everybody understood what is 5, 9, 64? You didn't understand? Understand also. So 5, 9, 64. This is our formula. So, especially the holy name. Rupa Goswami writes his book Vidagdha Madhav. In that, some of the invocation prayers he writes. Tunde tandavi neeratim vitanute tunda vali labdhaye karna krodaka dambini ghatayate karnarbhute hasprham cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyad bhiramrtaihi krishneti varnadvayi. He says, Tunde Tandavini Ratim Vitanute. This holy name of Krishna, when it is dancing on my tongue, Tundavali Labdhaye, I desire millions of tongues. I want millions of tongues to be able to chant this holy name, because the chanting of the holy name is giving me so much of pleasure. Karna Krodaka Dambini Ghatayate Karnarbhuteha Spraham. When the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, that vibration, Krishna, is entering my ears, I desire millions of ears. Cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvindriyanam kritim. When the holy name of Krishna is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, cheta prangana, courtyard of my consciousness, all the other senses lose their ability to function only. The entire focus goes on to that holy name only. No jane janita kiyad bhiramurtaihi krishneti varnadvayi. I don't understand what great ecstasy and what great happiness this chanting of the holy names is providing me. So, krishneti varnadvayi, the 2 varnas, krishna, these 2 syllables, how much pleasure they are giving me, I can't imagine. So like that, Rupa Goswami says. And we have many other shastric references glorifying these 5 potent forms of devotional service, 9 processes of devotional service. So we need to take shelter of one of them, or many of them, as much as your bandwidth is. So Prabhupada gave us a combination of all of us, all of them. So after chanting the holy names in the morning, Prabhupada also has given us another opportunity to come together and meditate on the glories of Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are here to assemble, here to discuss the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we covered 11 chapters, right, of the first canto, up to 11th chapter. So today we will begin 12th chapter. So before that, if you permit, I would like to listen from you what you remember from the first 11 chapters. At least 10th and 11th chapters. We will not take a big recap. What was there in the 11th chapter, the previous chapter, without seeing your books? This is not an open book question. It's closed book question. Yes, Prabhu. Your name? I forgot. Yagnesh Prabhu. Mm.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, waters of Dwaraka, then all the residents of Dwaraka are much happy and very eager to take the darshan of the Lord. And the Lord initially broke the council where the Prabhupada said about how the council becomes reddish for the darshan of the Lord.
Then Dwaraka vasis offer prayers. Okay. Someone wants to continue from where he left. Sri Ram Prabhu.
All category of devotees in their own rasas, the way he deals with his queens, the way he embraces his children, and the way he expresses his love towards his mother, towards his mothers, and towards father, and towards the king, Ugrasen. So, and the way the Dwarkavasis handle the decoration in every town and street and lanes were beautifully decorated. Prabhupada gives a very beautiful description there.
Right. And any striking verse that you remember from the 11th chapter? Uddama bhava pishuna malaval guhasa. Most striking verse, looks like. Many people are responding. Any other verse? Nityam nirikshamananam yadapi dvarakaukasam. Navitrupyanti hidrishaha shriyo dhamangamachyutam. Although all the Dwarakavasis are constantly, daily watching the beauty of Krishna, they are never satiated by that beauty. Krishna's beauty is insatiable beauty. Recently, for this month, Pradipika was just writing on Krishna's to Sarva Saundarya Sangraham, how Krishna is the collection of all beauties, or magazine. So, I was quoting this verse, which Satyamurti Prabhu just reminded. Nityam nirikshamanana. Okay, so to give a quick recap, in the first canto, the sages of Naimisharanya assemble at one place, Naimisharanya, and offer a seat to Suta Goswami and ask him 6 questions. And Suta Goswami answers those 6 questions, and in those answers we find the glories of bhakti, the process of devotional service, how it is the supreme process. And we also find the glories of Krishna, how he is the supreme personality of Godhead, the source of all incarnations. And in those answers, we also find the Leela avataras, Purusha avataras, and the reason for Krishna's descent. And also we find the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. How after Krishna disappeared from this planet, Krishna again descended back into this planet in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the glories of Bhakti, Bhagavan, Bhagavatam, Bhakta, all are there in the first 3 chapters. After that, the history of Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. Vyasadeva was meditating on the anomalies of Kali Yuga, and he thought, let me divide one Veda into 4 Vedas. Right? Ordinary people cannot understand. Now, for example, simple thing, in a chapter, one chapter may have, say, 50 verses. If you divide that 50 verses into different sections, okay, first 10 verses, this theme. Next, 12 verses, this theme. So things will become a little easier, right? So when things are presented in smaller quantities, so things become a little easier, sections and subsections. Vyasadeva has done it originally. He's the original person who divided one Veda into 4, and he employed some of his disciples to divide that one Veda into further sections and subsections and expand those knowledge through his disciples, through their grand disciples. Like that he did, and he also did Mahabharata, and he also wrote Upanishads and Puranas. Still he is dissatisfied. Then Narada Muni came and said, in all your works you did not completely glorify Krishna. You did not glorify the path of devotional service profusely. And you overemphasized on the 4 purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So for this reason, we are feeling a sense of incompleteness. So it is bhakti that nourishes the author also and the readers also. So because of bhakti, I became Narada Muni. Although I was the son of a maid servant in the previous life, now I am Narada Muni with the spiritual body I can travel anywhere and everywhere, distributing bhakti to everyone, only because I could serve Bhakti Vedanta, some devotees, and I could practice the process of devotional service in the previous day of Brahmabhavam, in the previous kalpa. So Vyasadeva is inspired to write Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he writes. So Vyasadeva writes that in the first four verses of the seventh chapter of this canto, not first four verses, later verses, in the first seven verses, it's mentioned, Krishne parama purushe bhaktirutpadyate pumsaha shoka moha bhayapaha yasyam vai sruyamanayam. So, Krishne parama purushe. If one hears Srimad Bhagavatam, one's feeling of bhakti, devotional service towards Krishna will come out. Right? If you want to develop your devotion towards Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which is just a compilation of the glories of Krishna and his devotees and the process of Bhakti Yoga, then there is a possibility for us to develop devotional service to Krishna. And not only that, shoka moha bhayapaha, the lamentation and the fears and the illusion of this material world, which are constantly tormenting the conditioned soul, will be vanquished if we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, for that purpose, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. And also, before that, he also says, Suta Goswami writes, that anartha upashamam sakshat bhakti yoga madhokshaji lokasya ajanato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. Anartha upashamam, anartha means that which is meaningless, there is no artha for it. What is that? All the miseries that the conditioned soul is experiencing in this world are meaningless. For a pure spirit soul who is a part and parcel of Krishna, who is a devotee of Krishna, who is an associate of Krishna in one sense, who is spiritual in his nature, for him to suffer this material pangs is totally meaningless, useless. For someone who is a multimillionaire, if he is sitting on the street on one side and begging for food, it's really awkward, right? Humiliating. Similarly, for a pure spirit soul who can enjoy association of Krishna by serving Krishna in the spiritual world, if he is suffering material pangs in this material world, that is such an awkward situation. Anartha upashamam sakshat, to mitigate this kind of miserable situation and humiliating and awkward situation for the soul in this material world, bhakti yoga madhokshaji, the process of bhakti yoga is there. Only by bhakti yoga, only by performing devotional service unto Krishna, can one be delivered from this miserable, awkward situation in this world. Lokasya ajanato vidvams, but the people of this world do not know this. How do I get out of this material miseries? They don't understand. Different people find different means to come out of this material miseries, and different people have different ideas, different suggestions. But hardly anyone will suggest that you should perform bhakti to Krishna, then you will come out. So many people have different suggestions. I have back pain. Okay, fine. You come to our orthopedic hospital. We have a surgeon. He will give you some injection. He will suggest you some physiotherapy. He will do something else. He will give you some medicines. Or he may do some operation. Then your leg pains or back pain will be gone. So, they give a material solution for a material problem. Someone else will have some other problem. They'll try to, I can't walk for a long time. Okay, we'll invent cars. It's too hot. Okay, we'll invent ACs. So like that, it's getting too much time to travel all there. Okay, fine, we'll invent flights. So like that, so many solutions for the material miseries are suggested in this material world, are created in this material world. However, the ultimate solution is, can I not experience these miseries at all? Misery is coming, solution is coming. Is there a situation where the misery doesn't come itself? Yes, there is a solution. If you perform bhakti yoga, you can go to the spiritual world. There you don't need AC. There you don't need motor cars. There you don't need flights. You can just fly at your own will. Right? And there are no adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika kleshas. You will not be experiencing the miseries from other living entities or body and mind. Body gives so much of misery, but you don't have to experience all of that. So how will you get that privilege to go there? By performing bhakti yoga. Right. So like that, to just glorify this process of bhakti yoga, Vyasadeva has written Srimad Bhagavatam. And he taught it to Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami spoke it to Parikshit Maharaj. And Suta Goswami also heard along with Parikshit Maharaj when Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, and that same Suta Goswami is speaking this to Namisharanya sages. Like that, the history of Bhagavatam and Parampara of Bhagavatam are wonderfully described in the next three chapters. Then from seventh chapter onwards, we have the story of Parikshit Maharaj. Before the birth of Parikshit Maharaj, the five sons of Pandavas died. Sleeping sons of Pandavas died because Ashwatthama killed them. Then Arjuna caught him, and because of Draupadi's mercy, so she is such a glorious lady that she has become merciful and kind and affectionate even to an offender who is the killer of her own sons. She had the ability to forgive Ashwatthama. To forgive someone who causes some pain was extremely difficult. That too, for a woman to forgive a person who killed her own children is extremely difficult. She is such a great Vaishnavi, she could forgive Draupadi. Then Bhima said, no, no, you can't forgive, you should kill him. Then Arjuna did something, he just removed the jewel and okay, I killed him. Bhima, are you satisfied? I did not kill him. Draupadi, are you satisfied? So like that, he intelligently manages the situation and released Ashwatthama. But that released Ashwatthama released another Brahmastra to kill Parikshit Maharaj in the womb. So then what will happen? So devotee spontaneously runs towards the shelter of Krishna. Uttara did not go to Bhima. Uttara did not go to Arjun. Uttara did not go to Yudhishthira or anyone else. Spontaneously, when this Brahmastra was attacking Uttara, she ran towards Krishna for protection. So, devotee does not calculate, whom should I surrender to? Whose shelter should I take? Without any calculation or analysis, they just directly go to Krishna for shelter. And Krishna entered the womb of Mother Uttara and protected Parikshit Maharaj. And actually, what happened after that, Parikshit's birth, all of them were supposed to be discussed. But somehow, Suta Goswami got detoured by some other topics. So when Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj, Kunti Maharani offered so many prayers, heartfelt prayers. So to describe those prayers, Suta Goswami spends one chapter. And after that, Yudhishthira Maharaj got aggrieved. Oh, because of me, so much massacre has happened. 64 crore people died. What happened? So like that, Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting. Then Krishna took him to Bhishma. And Bhishma pacified him. To become a counselor of Bhishma, counselor of Yudhishthira is not a small thing. And Bhishma managed to do that, even while he was lying on the deathbed. And after that, Krishna left from Hastinapur. One full chapter. Just to give farewell, seeing off Krishna. It must have happened for half an hour, 1 hour, whatever it may be. But Suta Goswami spent one full chapter for it. Then Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka, he had spent one more chapter. So these are all extra details in the context of describing the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. So where he began in the 8th chapter. Now 12th chapter will continue that. So in the 12th chapter, the sages of Naimisharanya remind Suta Goswami that you started to describe the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. Now you were describing so many other topics. Can you just come back to the main discussion? Then Suta Goswami begins. Now Swami Krishi asks, Savunaka uvacha Ashwatthaṁ nopasrishtena Brahma Sirshno Rutejasa Uttaraya Hato Garbham Ishena Jivitaha Punaham. Read the translation.
Womb of Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama. But Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord.
So Parikshit was protected by the Lord. So he is inquiring about Parikshit Maharaj. That was the first question. Next, second verse. I already gave the prelude to this. Tasya janma mahabuddhehe karmani cha mahatmanah nidhanam cha yathaivasit sapretya gatavan yatha.
How was the great emperor Parikshit, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place, and how did he achieve, what did he achieve after his death?
So the sages of Naimisharanya, they headed by Saunaka Rishi, they were expressing their desire and eagerness to hear about Parikshit Maharaj, his birth, his activities, and his death. Renunciation and death, four things. His birth is glorious. Why? Because Krishna himself entered the womb of his mother and protected him. He was supposed to be died there only, within the womb only. Even before coming out only, he was supposed to die. But Krishna protected him at the time of the birth. So his birth is glorious. Then, his activities are glorious. Activities, how they are glorious? Because our Kali was about to enter. Who has the ability to even stop Kali? So when Kali Yuga comes, Dharma stands on only one leg. But Parikshit Maharaj had the potency and ability to make Dharma stand on four legs even in the beginning of Kali Yuga. And he was about to kill Kali. But somehow, because Kali surrendered, he forgave Kali. He did not kill him, but he did not allow to him to flourish. So can you stop season? Now it's summer now. Next rainy season will come. You may be feel inconveniencing to experience the rainy season. Okay, let me stop rain. Will anyone stop rain in rainy season? If you can't stop one season coming, which comes every year, how can you stop an age coming, yuga coming? So just like seasons change within 1 year, yugas also change within 1 day of Brahma. 1,000 times, 1,000 chatur yugas are there. 1,000 into 4 times, 4,000 times the yugas change within 1 day of Brahma. We can't change. Can we change the course of day and night? Okay, evening 6 p.m. Now light is failing. 7 o'clock, sunset. And 8 o'clock, no sun, only moon is coming. Okay, I will stop moon rise and I will not allow the sun to set. Can anyone do here? Can anyone in the entire planet do this? Parikshit Maharaj was able to do. Not just stopping day or stopping night. He was able to stop the yuga to come in. So, Priyavrata Maharaj, he became another sun. He made the daylight on 24/7. Not 12/7. So, some of the pure devotees, because of the dedication that they have towards Krishna, because of their devotional service, they can perform such unimaginable activities. So, Parikshit's birth is glorious because Krishna protected him in the womb. Parikshit's activities are glorious because he stopped Kali. He chastised Kali. He was about to kill Kali. Parikshit's renunciation was glorious. Why? Yes. He was cursed to die. It's really surprising. But Parikshit did not develop any negative feelings towards the person who cursed him, towards the community that cursed him. One Brahmana boy cursed him. He surrendered to another Brahmana boy, Sukadeva Goswami. He did not condemn Brahmanas like that. But Sringi was condemning Kshatriya race. But Parikshit did not condemn Brahmana race. He took shelter of all the other Brahmanas. So his renunciation was glorious. As soon as the news of death came to him, immediately Parikshit Maharaj could understand that this is a blessing in disguise. This is not a curse, this is blessing. This curse will make me indifferent to all material activities and I can take exclusive shelter of Krishna. So he took it as a blessing. His renunciation was glorious. He gave up all the kingdom and royal comforts, and as the Bhagavatam painting shows, he is not even wearing clothes also completely. Right? So, Parikshit's renunciation was glorious and his death was glorious. Why? Because by the time of leaving the body, Parikshit was totally absorbed in Krishna. He went back to Godhead. So Parikshit's birth, activities, death, renunciation, all are glorious. We want to know about it. So that's the question of Shaunaka Rishi. So birth was special. This, whatever I discussed so far, was mentioned in the purport. Right, and when another wonderful aspect of Parikshit's death is, no one will get death notice. They may get court notice. Okay, you attend the hearing on so and so date, after 1 week or after 2 months, with all this information. Be ready to pay a fine, something like that. But death notice hardly anyone will get. You are going to die after 7 days. That is sure. So, when someone is suffering a chronic disease also, doctors will say, time come hai, but they may not exactly predict on this day, at this moment, he may die, that may not be so possible. Right? Most people in the world just die without knowing that they are going to die at a certain moment. So, Parikshit Maharaj got that death notice, and when he knew that how much more time he had in life, he effectively utilized that time. So when people, even if they get death notice, okay, in one more month you will die because you have so and so cancer or whatever, they may not be able to utilize that 1 month effectively by dedicating it to Krishna. In that 1 month they just start meeting all the relatives and trying to fulfill all their desires or having all kinds of discussions, knowing very well that they may not live for long. And in that 1 month, they will hope that may not be 1 month, 2 months hoga, 3 months hoga. So they keep hoping against hope also. But Parikshit Maharaj did not waste a single moment like that. Parikshit Maharaj spent these 7 full days hearing about Krishna. That's why his death is also glorious, because he got prior notice. So there are some rare souls who get to know about their own death. Bhishma came to know about his death. Came to know about his death means he can die whenever he wants. Khatvanga, he came to know that I will die in one muhurta. One muhurta means what? 48 minutes. Not that, it's like a literal translation could be 1 moment, but it is 48 minutes. And the 48 minutes in the upper planets could be little more than 48 minutes here also. So Khatvanga had sufficient time also. Considerable time. He utilized it that time effectively and then he went back to Godhead. So, like that, some medical and other research results show that in a day, about 60,000 thoughts cross our minds. We may know or not know, we may be conscious or not conscious. About 60,000 thoughts will just pass through our mind. Of them, at least 90% of the thoughts are same as the previous days. Nothing new. So, and amongst this 90% of the previous days thoughts, or at least 10% of the new thoughts, whatever it may be, hardly one single thought is about one's own death. Take any random fellow who is walking on the street, he will have at least 60,000 thoughts in mind, in one day. But even one of those thoughts is not about his own death. Generally. Some rare souls may be there. They may be thinking about their own death. But Parikshit Maharaj, and Yaksha asked questions to Yudhishthira Maharaj, right? At that time he asked, what is the most astonishing thing in this world? So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, people see so many deaths, But hardly anyone will think about their own death. They will think that they will live for a long time. So there is something called Smashana Vairagya. You know what is Smashana Vairagya? Prabhupada writes in one purport that one enters the crematorium, he sees the body being buried or the body being burnt, and he will, for a moment, he will think that, oh, maybe I will also die one day like this. They will cremate my body. They will burn my body. Means whatever fame and name and money and followers that I have acquired, all of them, I'll have to leave one day. He will think like that. So in the crematorium, when he saw the dead body being burnt, he was overwhelmed with these feelings. As soon as he comes out of the crematorium, comes to his house, washes his feet, takes his bath, he will just give up those thoughts also. Then he will be back into action. As if he is going to live here for eternity, for the rest of eternity, in the same situation, with the same youthful, strong body, with the same followers and facilities and treasure and family and everything else. Right? So that is called Smashana Vairagya, temporary renunciation. So, to know about one's own death is not a common thing. And to even think of one's own death is not a common thing. And even if you know about your death, to effectively utilize the remaining lifetime is not a common thing. All these things happened in Parikshit's case. That's why his death is glorious. Prabhupada brilliantly writes the purport. He did not counteract the curse. Parikshit had the ability to counteract the curse also, if he wants. But he did not counteract the curse. Chitraketu had the ability to counter curse Parvati also, if he wants. But he did not. So great souls, although they were dealt with inappropriately, some injustice is done to me, but a devotee tolerates that injustice. He does not protest. Conditioned soul is into justice-seeking tendency. Mere saath anyay hua, apman hua. But the pure devotees, they do not retaliate. So that verse comes in our context also. Tiraskrita, vipralabdha, shapta, kshupta, hatavapi, nasyatat pratikurvanti tad bhaktaha prabhavopihi. Even if they are cursed or mistreated or ridiculed or cheated or beaten up or even someone attempts to kill them also, they don't retaliate. Fine, no problem. Tolerance, forbearance, that is the glory of a devotee. So Parikshit Maharaj, and even Parikshit Maharaj did not go and beg forgiveness from Sanghi. Shamika Rishi, because he is so detached that he doesn't want any relief from this curse. I am not saying sorry to him, because he is already embarrassed so much. If I go and beg forgiveness from that sage Shamika Rishi, he will be embarrassed more. You know this, right? Last time I mentioned. So Shamika Rishi was not happy that Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. So he had sent one of his disciples, Gauramukha, to inform Parikshit Maharaj that about this curse news. Then Parikshit Maharaj, he realized that he did a mistake by garlanding Shamika Rishi with the dead snake. But still he did not go and say sorry, because he thought that he is already embarrassed that I am cursed. If I go and say sorry, he will be more embarrassed. So let me not embarrass him further. Like that. So he did not want to approach the Lord for favor, undue favor. He said, you protected me at the time of death. What happened to you? Your mind changed or what? Why are you not protecting me at the time of death? Parikshit Maharaj did not say like that. He did not protest. What mistake did I do? What is my offense? Little small offense. Just dead snake around that sage's neck. You put another dead snake on my neck. Fine. Ho gaya na? Or you put two dead snakes around my neck. He did not get into any negotiation. Where is my mistake and where is this punishment? Totally disproportionate punishment. He did not protest. He just happily accepted it. That's why he is glorious. And he honestly repented for his mistake also. Also, he did not want to interfere with the current of time. What is that? The first symptom of Kali is degradation of Brahmana community. But he welcomed death cheerfully. Okay. Krishna wants. I tried my best to stop Kali. But Krishna wants Kali to flourish. Okay, Krishna doesn't want me to be here. Let me just accept Krishna's will as it is. So, a pure devotee never asks the Lord for any undue favor. So, he did not request Krishna. Why? He did not protect me. So next, the sages of Naimisharanya further continue. Third verse. Taditam shrotu bichhamo gaditum yadi manyase bruhina shraddhananam yasya jnanam adat shukaham.
About you, Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Sukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter.
So, the sages of Naimisharanya were further asking, we want to hear how Sukadeva Goswami enlightened Parikshit Maharaj. So, there is an eagerness on the part of devotees to know about other devotees. Krishna Katha is not just Katha of Krishna. Krishna Katha is also the Katha of devotees of Krishna. Vaishnava Katha is also important, not only Krishna Katha. And Bhagavatam is a beautiful combination of the glories of Krishna and his devotees, both. In some episodes, devotees' pastimes are described so elaborately. In some episodes, Krishna is described very elaborately. So Bhagavatam is a description of Bhagavan and Bhagavatas, Bhaktas also. Charitam tasya rajarshe radhi rajasya sattamaha. He says, or Vidura says that I want to know about that Adi Raja. Who is that Swayambhu Manu? Swayambhu Manu is such a great devotee and I want to know how he performed a devotional service, how he procreated so many children. So Swayambhu Manu had 5 children. Who are they? Akuti, Prasuti, Devahuti, Uttanapad, Priyavrat. So, Swayambhu Manu is the first personality, first Manu, whose children increased the population of this universe. And he is a great devotee. And all his 5 children are also nice devotees. And they gave birth to so many devotees and so many incarnations of the Lord. So like that, Swayambhu Manu's dynasty is glorious, and Vidura was showing so much of interest to understand the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu and glories of Swayambhu Manu. Similarly, the sages of Naimisharanya are showing so much of interest to understand the glories of Parikshit Maharaj. Srutasya pumsam suchirasramasya nanvanjasa suribhiriditortha tattat gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravindam hridayeshu yesham. One who hears with great labor from a spiritual master about Krishna should also hear about the pure devotees of Krishna. So then the process of Shravanam is complete and fulfilling. To be able to hear about Krishna's devotees is so uplifting, so inspiring. They are our role models, they are our heroes whom we have to follow. So many people of this world may follow different heroes, Kannada heroes, Telugu heroes, Hindi heroes, Bollywood, Tollywood, Mollywood, Kollywood, so many woods are there. So they follow in the footsteps of all these people and they imitate their styles, hairstyles or dressing styles or mannerisms, this and that. But we are supposed to imitate or follow in the footsteps of pure devotees. What are their mannerisms? What is their character? How are their dealings with other people? How did they perform devotional service to Krishna? Study the character of pure devotees and imbibe those qualities and follow in their footsteps. That's the job profile of devotee. Not to imitate the so-called celebrities of this material world. Right? Their styles will keep on changing. Vaishnava styles do not change. The principles of Vaishnavism and the principles of Vaishnava character, even in Satyuga or Dwapar Yuga or Kaliyuga or the next future Manvantaras, or the previous Kalpa, they are all same, the principles are same. But the celebrities of this world, they keep changing their styles. And these people also convey, earlier this kind of jeans pant was popular, now some other dressing style is becoming popular, okay fine, let me follow that. Their styles also keep on changing. But pure devotee's style is same, and we need to imbibe that. That's eternal. Any of the 9 devotional processes, if seriously executed, give equally complete benefit. We discussed this. Prabhupada says, the effect of such a bona fide hearing and chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam was equally shared by both the hearer and chanter. Now, Shravanaka Rishi is asking these questions to Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami is answering those questions. And what is the subject matter of that? Subject matter is Parikshit Maharaj's history, his activities. So, some devotees are inquiring about a pure devotee, and one devotee is explaining about that pure devotee, and the whole transaction, the hearer, the speaker, and the subject matter is totally devotional, and such beautiful narrations and conversations are very uplifting. There is one beautiful verse in the 18th chapter. You can see Ratnamala. It's there, 1.18.15. You can also recite. Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano.
Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano.
Mahattamaikanta parayanasyam.
Mahattamaikanta parayanasyam.
Harerudaram charitam vishuddham.
Harerudaram charitam vishuddham.
Susrushatam no vitanotu vidvan. Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano. So the sages of Naimisharanya are telling Suta Goswami, my dear Suta Goswami, you are Bhagavat Pradhana. You are the foremost devotee of Krishna. Then next is Mahattamaikanta Parayanasya Harerudaram Charitam Vishuddham. And what you are speaking is Hari's Udara, means magnanimous, charita, narrations, Vishuddham, extremely pure, free, devoid of any contamination. So the speaker is a great devotee. The subject matter is the topics of Krishna. Then what is the hearer's quality? Susrushatamno vitanotu vidvan. We are very eager to hear, grab that nectar. When the hearer has great eagerness to know about Krishna and his devotees, and when the speaker is a nice devotee of Krishna, and when the subject matter is Krishna's topics and devotees' topics, that conversation will nourish that combination and will continue to nourish for the generations of devotees to come. One conversation between Sukadev and Parikshit, one conversation between Narada and Vyasa, one conversation between Naimisharanya sages and Suta Goswami. After 5,000 years also we are describing all that. We are discussing all of that. So which movie will be seen by generations after generations? One movie must be super hit. What is that called? What is the word, technical word they use? Blockbuster. One movie could be a blockbuster at one time. After 10 years, will the next generation watch it? Very easy, third class, outdated stuff. And they will laugh also. When they watch, they will laugh at the dressing styles, they will laugh at the dialogue delivery, they will laugh at the phone that they are using. Right? They have this phone, right? Like this. So when now in the movies, if some people are watching those movies where people are ringing the phone like that, they will watch, aray, the primitive days, primitive technology. Seeing the graphics of movies which are like 20 years, 30 years back, primitive technology. Now graphics are so rich. Like that they will say. So material world means things get outdated. Material discussions are totally outdated and irrelevant after some time. Today's most exciting and popular newspaper will become kachra in the next day. But spiritual topics are not like that. They are ever fresh. Even after 5,000 years, we are eager to hear this. Same conversation. So, the effect of such a bona fide hearing and chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam was equally shared by both the hearer and chanter. Both of them were benefited. So, bogus guru and disciple relationship based on electric current is condemned. You know what is it. Ardent hearing from bona fide spiritual master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge. And there is no need for medical performances or occult mysticism for miraculous effects. The process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result. Process is simple, but one needs to have that sincerity to access the result. One needs to have that simplicity also. Sincerity is not a skill. It's the quality of one's own personality and character. sincerity can be inspired by another sincere person. And it's one's individual responsibility to cultivate that sincerity. It's not a skill that is supposed to be taught. It's the heart's expression and feeling. So, these are just questions, right? Now, Suta Goswami answers this question. So, what are the questions basically? What are the questions? Questions are about Parikshit Maharaj. I want to know about Parikshit Maharaj more. Now, Suta Goswami is responding. Apipala Dharma Rajaham Pitruvadranjayan Prajaham Nishpruha Sarvakamebhyaham Krishna Padanu Sevayam.
Suta Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthira administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambitions and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of the Lord Shri Krishna.
So, before describing the birth and activities of Parikshit Maharaj, Suta Goswami gave a small background of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because Parikshit Maharaj is a great Krishna conscious king and ruler. Where did he acquire these qualities from? Because of his grandfather Yudhishthira Maharaj. His father died. Abhimanyu died even before the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. So, the main guardian and caretaker of Parikshit Maharaj is Yudhishthira Maharaj, right? So Yudhishthira Maharaj sets the right example of being a Krishna conscious ruler, and Parikshit Maharaj also becomes another Krishna conscious ruler. He gives the perfect background for Parikshit Maharaj. So the upbringing of a child matters a lot. When the parents are nice devotees, children also have the opportunity to become nice devotees. So the parents inculcate, the guardians and caretakers, they inculcate certain qualities and samskaras in the children, and that upbringing matters a lot and how the child will flourish in future. So Yudhishthira Maharaj's contribution to Parikshit Maharaj's character is really remarkable. So now Yudhishthira Maharaj's qualities we are describing. From 4th verse onwards. He is a Krishna conscious leader. He administered generously to everyone, exactly like a father. No personal ambition for sense gratification. So, one important quality of a Krishna conscious ruler is he does not have any need or mood to gratify one's own senses. He is totally dedicated to the service of the citizens. So, examples of such perfect leadership are Ramachandra himself. Ramarajya, we say. Yudhishthira Maharaj is also like that. Knowing the science of Krishna bestows the understanding to offer protection to all prajas of all kinds of species, not just human beings. So, if the ruler knows about Krishna and he understands that every single citizen in my kingdom is a part and parcel of Krishna, he is potentially a devotee of Krishna, then he will treat them with affection. And not only human being prajas. Praja means any resident in the kingdom, not just human being. It could be birds also, it could be animals also. So no Krishna conscious ruler will say that I will give protection to human beings and I will torment the animals and I will allow slaughterhouses to be maintained. That's not a proper ruler. So, now you see, Prabhupada often writes like this, that unless the ruler has spiritual knowledge, his ruling or his administration will not have any substance. The politician should not only have one birth, which is seminal birth from parents, he should also have second birth from a bona fide guru through spiritual initiation. So, when a ruler has spiritual knowledge also and spiritual master also, then his ruling is bona fide. If a person is once born and if he starts ruling, then He cannot go beyond arranging some material comforts for his citizens. But if he himself is twice born, such a ruler can also think about the spiritual welfare of the citizens. If one has only one birth, similar birth from parents, he thinks of material comforts of the citizens at the max. Such people may not even think of material comforts also. They will think about their own comforts only. At the max, he can materially take care of certain things, but spiritual knowledge is there. So he will, such a Krishna conscious ruler will rule the kingdom in such a way that his citizens will go back to Godhead. Right? Prabhupada writes, such a long purport. Principle behind perfect management is watering the root. You see, we know this popular verse. What is that verse? Fourth canto. Yatha taror mula nishechanena trupyanti tatskhanda bhujopa shakha pranopa harata yathindriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyutejjaha. If one waters the root, all the leaves and twigs and branches and flowers and fruits of that tree are nourished. Right? If one just sprinkles water on the leaves and twigs and branches of the plant or tree, then the tree may not live for long. Similarly, if a ruler or king takes care of only the material comforts of the citizens, the society will collapse. But if we inculcate spiritual knowledge and spiritual culture in the kingdom, society will flourish, will automatically flourish. Right? That is watering the root. This is what a ruler or a leader is supposed to do. Leader means he should cultivate spiritual consciousness in the dependents. If one cannot give spiritual culture to his dependents, then he is not supposed to take the role of a superior only. Gururna sasyat, svajanona sasyat, pitayana sasyat, janana sasyat, daivamna sasyat, napatischa sasyat, namochaye deha, samupeta mrityum. One cannot become a guru, one cannot become a mother, one cannot become a father, one cannot become a demigod, one cannot become a leader if he cannot deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. And how does that happen? By giving them bhakti yoga, by teaching them how to worship Krishna. If that is not there, then such a leader will not be causing any welfare to his dependents. Right? One should resign from that post. These are like very heavy statements by Rupa or Rishabhadev. Leading personalities of the world must take to science of Krishna for their own good, for the good of society, and for the good of all people of the world. By knowing science of Krishna, one can become the most perfect man in the world. And unless one has knowledge in the science, all qualifications and doctorate diplomas acquired by academic education are spoiled and useless. Yudhishthira is a great devotee who is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. So when he is administering, he is administering all kinds of comforts to the citizens along with inculcating spiritual culture also in the kingdom. Thus, Yudhishthira is a perfect Krishna conscious ruler. Fifth verse. Sampadaha kratavo lokam mahishi bhrataro mahi jambudvipadhipatyam cha yashascha tridivam gatam. Sampadaha kratavo loka. He is very opulent. Kratava means, sampada is opulence. Kratava means sacrifices, yajnas, correct. Loka means planets. Means future destinations, which planets is he going to achieve by performing certain good activities. So Mahishi, Bhrataro, Mahi. Mahishi means queens, Bhratara, brothers, Mahi, earth. So Parikshit Maharaj's opulences and sacrifices and his whole fame basically, he is widespread. Entire Jambudvipa came to know about his glorious activities. He is so popular. His fame even reached the higher planets also. Yes, someone was saying something. Yudhishthira Maharaj, sorry, Parikshit. Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Loka indicates variety of higher planets spread throughout the cosmic manifestation. The higher planets are only approachable by sacrifice and service and not by mechanical means. No one can create an airplane by which he can go to Indralok and then see all the paraphernalia there and say hi, hello to them and then come back. I have come from earthly planet. Nobody will accept him there. They need proper qualification. So, what is Yudhishthira Maharaj's attitude towards his own opulence, which was attracting to even heavenly planets? So that is mentioned in the 6th verse. Kim te kamah suraspraham mukunda manasodvijaham adhijahrur mudam ragnaham kshutitasya yathetare.
So enchanting that the denizens of heaven aspired for it. But because he was absorbed in the service of the Lord, nothing could satisfy him except service.
Kim te kamaha spuraspraha. So the opulences of Yudhishthira Maharaj were enchanting even to heavenly denizens. But he himself has no interest in all of them. He is not excited with all the power and rule and opulence and prestige that he has in his kingdom. Right? Kimte kamaha suraspraha. Because he is mukunda manasodvijaha. His mana, his heart has been dedicated to mukunda. When it is fixed up there, they don't have any ability to take any pleasure in material enjoyment. Adhiraj adhijahrur mudam ragnaha kshutitasya yathetare. And also, there were no, other kinds of problems for the citizens. Citizens are extremely happy. An illusion living entity under Maya thinks himself to be the served, although he is the servant of senses like lust, etc. By spiritual knowledge, one realizes his pitiable position as servant of senses and thus he begs to become Lord's servant. So Prabhupada writes that only food can satisfy the hunger of a person. If you are hungry, then food can satisfy you. Then when the living being is hungry for spiritual satisfaction, he is misrepresented by material hunger. Similarly, the hunger of the soul can be satisfied by Krishna Katha, process of devotional service. Just like hunger of body is satisfied by some food. Whole material world is full of hungry living entities who can only be satisfied by spiritual atmosphere in the association of Krishna. So these are some beautiful points Prabhupada writes. This is a very nice purport. The hunger is for spiritual atmosphere. Yeah, bodily hunger is there. Once you eat, done. Right, 10 o'clock you will eat. 10:15 you may finish. Then will you desire to eat anymore? Till your belly starts asking somewhere in the evening, 4:35, whatever is your time. Right. So, all the hunger, the material hunger has a limit. One cannot be unlimitedly hungry on a material plane. Even if he gets the favorite dish, say gulab jamun, they are distributing. Gulab jamun is his favorite sweet. How much he will eat? 1, 2, 3, 10, 20? At one point he will say, no more gulab jamun. I can't eat anymore. And for the next 10 days he will say, I will not eat gulab jamun. If he has overeaten on one day. Because material hunger has a limit. But spiritual things, although one took darshan of the same deity today, he wants to take the darshan tomorrow also. And for the rest of life he will take. For the rest of eternity he will take. Nityam nirikshamananam yadapidvarakukasam. Krishna katha, although he has heard Bhagavatam once, he wants to hear again and again and again and again. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So actual hunger is for spiritual atmosphere, spiritual vibrations. We need to notice that. Yeah, I am really hungry for spiritual atmosphere. My heart, my soul is hankering for it, lamenting for lack of that spiritual atmosphere. I am spiritually hungry. One does not even recognize his actual hunger. He is just caught up by this material hunger. Because material hunger is immediate. Now we are hungry, you immediately need food. Now someone is lusty, he immediately needs association of opposite sex. When someone is feeling cold, he immediately needs a chadar. So the physical needs are like will induce a sense of emergency in you. Right? The satisfaction or gratification or the attention that your senses need will have to be immediately fulfilled. Otherwise you can't exist. The sense of urgency you will feel to fulfill one's own spiritual material needs, material hunger. But spiritual hunger, no one feels a sense of emergency. Okay, baad mein kar lenge. Pure devotee banne ka itna kya jaldi hai? We can dheere dheere karenge. So like that they will say, there is no sense of emergency there. But Prabhupada is saying that hunger is actually for the spiritual atmosphere. So a devotee slowly, as he is advancing, he tries to reduce or minimize the material needs and increase his spiritual appetite, spiritual hunger. So, I should consciously increase my appetite for spiritual atmosphere, and I should consciously make an endeavor to minimize my material needs. Yes, some needs you can't avoid. Just do the needful. Take the bare minimum there. Not increasing that material comforts, material facilities, material needs, and try to increase the spiritual need. So, the more hungry we are, the more eager we are to eat. And the more hungry and eager we are to eat, the more we can digest what we are eating. Clear? You will be able to digest the food that you are eating to the extent you are hungry for it. Hunger nahi hai, bhook nahi hai. Although you are given the best delicious dish to you, you can't digest it. Similarly, when we don't have that hunger for Krishna Katha, hunger for holy name, although we are sitting in Bhagavatam class, although we are chanting 16 rounds, we won't be able to assimilate it. Yeah, the tongue is very sincerely chanting the holy name, but the ear is hearing something else. The mind is thinking of something else. The hand is sincerely turning the beads one after one, 108 into 16. But the mind is somewhere else. Right? It happens. Happens with me at least. I'm just sharing my personal experience. So, when the mind is also focused on this, hand and mouth are doing their job properly. Sometimes mouth may not do. Hand will never fail. Count to count, 16 rounds. Right? Then more focus is there on the outer beads than inner beads. Right? Swala mala. So, hand does its job and mouth may also do job, but the mind is somewhere else. Many times. When a neophyte sadhaka chants. So, because there is no hunger, internal hunger is not there. So, we need to increase that appetite. When there is hunger for chanting, every mantra that we chant is very attentive, with full concentration. When we are so hungry, every morsel of food that we put in our mouth is very attentive. You are so hungry, you are eating, then someone will disturb you. You are just focused on this only. Okay, yaar, 10 minute ke baad baat kar lenge. Itna jaga jaldi. We'll talk after some time. Let me finish my meal. Because you are concentrating there. But pet bhar gaya. And you have already eaten something, and after that someone gives you something. Okay, some, what to say, sieve, came, or mixture came, or bhel came, or something, some chakli came. You have taken your meal, pet bhar gaya, it's just additional something. So, now, kya bolo? This is just while eating also, he'll discuss. Right? He doesn't have to concentrate on it. Because he's not desperate. Hunger is satisfied, and some additional thing is coming. Right? With a conversation also, he can just continue. Similarly, chanting also, because internally there is no hunger for it, while chanting also we do 100 other things. Right? If there is hunger, you are desperate to chant, then there is full concentration. So, Prabhupada says, only spiritual atmosphere can satisfy the hunger. Actual hunger is for spiritual atmosphere. Next, 7th verse. Maturgarbhagato viraham satata bhrugunandanam dadarshapurusham kanchit dahyamanostra tejasam.
O son of Prabhu Shaunaka, when the child Parikshit, the great fighter, was in the womb of his mother Uttara and was suffering from the burning heat of the Brahmastra from Vashatama, he could observe the Supreme Lord coming.
So, Parikshit, now he is coming to the topic of Parikshit's birth. So, here Parikshit is described to be Veera. Because he is a Kshatriya, he has natural courage. He was not afraid of this Brahmastra, within the womb also. But Uttara was afraid, Krishna came and attended. But Parikshit was like quite alright. You see, there is a nice painting where Parikshit within the womb is observing Krishna counteracting this Brahmastra heat. His first perception of the objects of his material eyes was the form of the Lord. The first darshan that Parikshit had, even before coming out of mother's womb, is Krishna's darshan. How many are fortunate to have darshan of the Lord within the womb? We do all kinds of things, and then after 20-25 years, some devotee will come and tap us, "Are, iskon mein aayega kya?" Then once you come, then you have darshan daily. But otherwise, all the darshans that we have before coming to Krishna consciousness, even if we have the darshan of certain deities also, we don't have the necessary knowledge to appreciate that darshan. Unless we come in contact with devotees and unless we study the scriptures. There are three things. There is sensual perception. Second, oral reception. Third, devotional contemplation. Sensual perception means what we see with our eyes, what we touch with our hands, what we smell with our nose, what we hear with our ears, what we taste with our tongue. That is sensual perception, that you know. Now when you go into a temple and see the forms, the deities there in the temple, at the max you may say, "Are nice, they are nicely dressed. Nice fragrance is coming from the mogra offered to the deities. Nice color cloth. Nice forms." That's all. And sensual plane you appreciate. If you don't have knowledge about the deities, which deity it is, some people come to our GV and then ask, "Who is that person standing next to Radha Krishna? Radha Krishna are little popular, and who is that third person?" Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gone. कृष्ण के एक अवतार है ऐसा है कभी सुना है नहीं ठीक है अभी सुनो सो लाइक दैट वी जस्ट हैव टू गिव देम सम नॉलेज अनलेस यू डोंट नो हुम यू आर सीइंग यू कांट अप्रिशिएट फर्स्ट टाइम आई वेंट टू इस्कॉन टेम्पल आई सा नित्ताय गौरांगा द डीटीज नित्ताय गौरांगा क्या आई नेवर हर्ड द नेम नित्ताय गौरांगा टू डिकेड्स ऑफ माई लाइफ पास्ड द डीटी नेम इज नित्ताय गौरांगा एंड दे आर स्टैंडिंग लाइक दिस ऐसा कभी डीटी को देखा ही नहीं. They are doing like this only. Okay. What is this new posture? I said deities like this. Like this. But unless you know something about the person, you can't appreciate. So, your sense perception is actually effective if you are equipped with oral reception. What is oral reception? Hearing about the deities through your ears. This is Srimati Radharani. This is Sri Krishna. They are our eternal mother and father. They are the source of this universe. They are the eternal divine couple. So, and Srimati Radharani is the transformation of the internal potency, Haladini Shakti of the Lord. She is the personification of Mahabhav. And Krishna is the supreme controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir. He does not have a source. He is the source of everything. There is no one superior to him. Mattaha Paratram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mattas Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of everything. All spiritual and material manifestations are coming from me. Bhumi Rapo Analo Vayu Khammano Buddhi Revacha. All the material elements that I see around him are his external energy. Mamaivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. Even I am a part and parcel of him. Like that unlimited glories of Krishna, you know. Then when you come in front of the deities, you can appreciate that darshan. The forms that your eyes are perceiving, the sense perception that you are having will be effective to the extent you are equipped with oral reception. Otherwise, nice dolls. Nice. Kitne? Kitne ka hai? People will go and purchase dolls outside in the market. They will say, that is a doll. This is also a doll. A small child, small boys or girls who do not have any other experience than playing with dolls, they will see deities also as dolls. But an informal person who understands who is standing there, he is Vishnu, he is Krishna, he is Ram, he is Radha, she is Radha, she is Sita, she is Lakshmi, then they will understand. Then hands will fold. Not just eyes are appreciating, hands will fold and you offer prayers. Then devotional contemplation will happen. If your sense perception is equipped with oral reception, then that will lead to devotional contemplation. If there is no oral reception, there will not be any devotional contemplation. There will be only mental speculation. Makes sense? Mental speculation. Kaun hai? Kaun ho sakta hai? Black man has white wife. What is this? I never heard. Black Neel Madhav has golden Radharani next. What is this combination? People will just have different understandings. But if one hears Krishna, he is bluish, he is blackish. About Shyama, Hiranya, Rashanorka. So like that, if you know about the form of the Lord, then you will appreciate. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here. That his first perception of the objects by the mental senses was the form of the Lord. He is the child in the womb conscious. Yes, a child in the womb remains in trance for 7 months, then he wakes up. From 7th to 9 months till the birth, the child also is conscious. When the mother is eating some mirchi, child will feel that heat within the womb. So, he feels inconvenient in the womb. When you are packed in a goni, and the goni is locked, sealed from outside, how you will feel? Same is the case with a small baby, embryo. The Lord always protects His devotees in any condition. Lord appeared by all His powerful energy to protect Parikshit Maharaj. Angushtamatramamalam Spurat puratamaulinam Apivya darshanam shyamam Taditvasa samachyutam. In what form did Krishna appear? Angushta matram amalam. He is of the size of a thumb. Right? Amalam. Angushta matram is size of a thumb. Amalam means spotless. No mala. No contamination. No material attributes. He is completely spiritual, transcendental, uncontaminated. Angushta matram amalam. Spurat puratamaulinam. He has a blazing golden helmet. Apivya darshanam shyamam. Shyama means he is blackish. Apivya darshanam means his darshan is extremely beautiful. Tadit vasa samachyutam. He is wearing a cloth. Vasa means cloth, which is like tadit, lightning, shining like lightning, yellowish. Achyutam, he is infallible. He is infallible in protecting his devotee. Now, his devotee is being attacked by Brahmastra and Krishna will protect him. So he is Achyuta. So that is the feature of the Lord described here. And Parikshit is very, with great focus, is observing that form. Parikshit means parita ikshit. Parita ikshana means very thoroughly he is doing ikshan, seeing in all directions. So because he observed or examined with great attention and focus, he is called Parikshit. Parikshan. So because he constantly remembered the Lord whom he has seen in the womb and searched for him in all directions amongst all men, he is famously known as Parikshit. In this chapter only that verse will come. And Krishna's features are further described in the 9th verse. Shrimad Dirgha Chaturbahum Tapta Kanchana Kundalam Kshatajaksham Gadapanim Atmanah Sarvato Disham Paribhramantamulkabham Bhramyantam Gadatam Muhuhum. Srimad Dirgha Chaturbahum. He is enriched with prolonged Chaturbahu, four arms. He came, entered in a four-armed form. Tapta Kanchana Kundalam. And he is wearing a beautiful kundal which is shining, golden. Right? Kshataja Aksham Gadapanim. Kshataja Aksham means, Kshataja means blood. Aksham means eyes. Eyes are reddish like blood. Kshatajaksham. Gadapanim. He is holding a gada in his hand. Atmanaha sarvato disham means he is with his own potency, he is expanded everywhere. Atmanaha sarvato disham. He is present in all directions. Paribhramanta mulkabham brahmayan brahmyantam gadatam muhuhu. So paribhramanta means he is loitering everywhere, like shooting stars, ulkabham, encircling the club constantly, right? Counteracting the Brahmastra heat. So this is how the Lord appeared within the womb. And that's the darshan, first darshan he had, Parikshit Maharaj. The Lord is all pervading by his inconceivable potency, Prabhupada says. Always present in every heart and every atom. Therefore, he could manifest in Uttara's womb. He's everywhere. He's outside also, he's inside also. The Lord's mercy is that even though unlimited, he appears before the limited. Means although he is all-pervading, he can still appear at a local point. Unlimited, all-powerful, Lord, by his mercy can manifest to our limited vision in any condition. As biggest, as smallest, or as Archavigraha, he can manifest in front of all of us. Prabhupada writes, merciful as he is, he becomes just suitable to the vision of limited living being. He is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited, but still he is manifesting in this small form as Vigraha. So that we can see him, we can serve him, we can feed him, we can decorate him, we can offer him garlands, we can worship him. Because Krishna agreed to manifest in these small forms. Right? So that we can serve him. Next, 10th verse. Astratejaha swagadaya Niharam iva gopataha Vadhamantam sannikarshem Vidhamantam sannikarshem Paryaikshata ka ityasau. Read the translation.